Their minds, that Abbott Park was going to be half empty. I hope.
The time is 6:41. The chair will call the Human Services Committee meeting of March 2nd to order. Ms. Davis, could you please call the roll?
David Holman?
Present.
Mike Gable?
Yo.
Greg Retzlaff?
Here.
Anita Johnson?
Here.
Leah Blau?
Here.
Aaron Decker is excused.
Mm-hmm.
David Arrington?
Here.
Brianna Ayers?
Here.
Julia Alberth?
Here.
Okay. We're open for citizen comments. Anyone wishing to address the committee, please come forward, state your name and address for the record, and you have 5 minutes to address the committee. Seeing none, citizen comments are closed. Agenda item two, motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Gable, second by Supervisor Arrington. Youth and Governance?
Yes.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Forgive me, I'm swapping devices because what I normally use I seem to have left on campus, so bear with me. Agenda item three is what, appointments?
Yes.
Okay. I did read it. That's how I know that.
It's four.
Four. Agenda item four.
We have a number of appointments to three different, one's the Administrative Appeals Board and Resource Center Board that Laverne would be here to discuss if there's any question, the Board of Trustees. I don't know how, what's the committee's pleasure, all at once, or you want them broken down?
Does anybody have any preferences as to how we should?
We'll do them all at once.
Well, there one suggestion, are these two new people or re-up?
There, Edmund Weaver is new for Aging and Disability Resource Center, and I believe Lauren is also new on administration, and Bill. Sandra has been on administration, Board of Administrative Appeals. Bill and Lauren are both former county employees with a number of years of experience that we're asking for their appointment to that board. Ron Johnson's a reappointment to the trustees, and Edmund Weaver would be a new addition to Laverne Aging and Disability Resource Center.
Mr. Chairman, one of the things that was mentioned in one of the boards was their attendance. Remember that was brought up?
Right. Thank you for reminding me.
I don't know if that's something we want to have them discuss or not.
I don't know what these folks, I mean, there isn't anything that I don't think we have on file now, you know. But, I mean, moving forward, it's something we could certainly keep. Do you know what I mean? Supervisor Noble at the last county board meeting wanted to report on folks' attendance.
Oh, okay.
For some of these different boards and commissions that we're putting folks on. And I know in the past we've...
They're in there.
It should be listed in your packet.
All right, there you go.
When the county exec does his appointment Board of Appeals.
Board of Appeals doesn't only meets if there's something that's being appealed, so that's not a fair assessment.
But the appointment sheet done by the county exec's office does state, for example, Supervisor Ron Johnson, he attended 7 out of the 8 meetings held.
Okay.
So they do that for everybody who's a reappointment.
All right.
Then I don't know maybe if it was in the last collection or not, if maybe he had missed it, maybe it was new folks or not.
This has been done for years and years.
Yeah, I know, because I remember when there was the request for it a while ago.
And to be, you know, to be frank with you, if somebody is missing a lot of our meetings, we're not going to come back to you and recommend that they...
No, it's just supervisors not reading the stuff put in front of them. We've been down this road before. It happens sometimes. Okay. Anything further? Supervisor Retzlaff?
No.
Or was that just it?
No, that's all I have.
That was it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So are we taking this? Things went a little fast. I know somebody motioned to take them all at once.
She seconded.
Yeah, and I seconded.
All right. So motion to take them all at once by Supervisor Gable, second by Supervisor Blau. Youth and Governance?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Chair votes aye.
Thank you.
Agenda item number five. We should all read our packets. That was very embarrassing. Health Division presentation, well water testing, private on-site water treatment systems.
Yeah, we have Mark here tonight who oversees those programs for the Division of Health, and we thought it'd be something that we normally don't bring in front of this committee, but it is a very important part of what they do.
with one of them just being added on within, what, about the last year?
A year, just over a year.
Mark, granted,
there could have been, you know, more exciting topics than pouts, private on-site wastewater treatment systems, or well water.
You can have something to suggest, we can always hit the back.
No, John has limited me to one meeting for a career.
We'll serve food at the next one.
I'm in. I think y'all got my handout. Like to thank you for the opportunity to educate you a little bit on some of the programs we do. The public drinking water, we do all the public wells in Kenosha County. We take samples from 171 wells, mainly west of the interstate, but a few east of the interstate, annually. We take a bacteria and a nitrate sample. And we also do an inspection on 20% of the wells a year. So every well gets looked at by us within every 5 years. Now that's a program set up through the DNR, and we answer to them and all their protocols on this. So if something does go wrong, we do get phone calls immediately from the DNR, especially if we have an unsafe water sample. So of the 171 wells, we took about 420 samples from these wells this past year, because there are a lot of repeat samples if you do get an unsafe. So we don't get that many unsafes, but if we do get one, it triggers a lot of follow-up samples. There's at least 9 more samples that are required. You know, you have to come back the following day and do 4 samples. Then you have to have them chlorinate, do something to correct the problem. And then we come back after all that's done, it takes 2 samples one day, 2 samples the next day. And then the next month, we come back and take 5 more samples. So there's a lot of running around. At least the DNR noticed how much running around we did, because this past year they gave us an extra $50 for every time we had to go out to an establishment. So they actually try to support the programs that they're giving us. So hopefully that'll stay around for a while. One of the reasons I picked the public drinking water was the change. New coliform rules, which is a huge thing with the EPA. They're the ones that regulate the DNR. And now when we have an unsafe water of coliform, we're not going to put them on a boil water notice anymore. We're going to still correct the problem, but they're going to have a not going to shut down their restaurant, basically shut their water off and made them discard any ice that they produced, any water that they had on site. But now we're going to let them operate as usual, but they're still going to have to correct the problem. Coliform is just a basic bacteria that they're looking for. Most of it is safe. The coliform one that you're really worried about, though, is E. coli. And we can pick that out specifically when we do our sampling. So if it does come out coliform or E. coli positive, then we do go to the boil water notices, and then we do have to do it around the follow-up samples. A little more stringent in the years to come than what they've had in the past. So this is all coming for us in 2016. So we're waiting to see what the DNR is going to require from us on that. All I know is the coliform positive, we won't have to do the boil water notice. Like I said, we still get the correction because we're still going to do the follow-up sampling. But the E. coli is going to get more stringent than probably quarterly samples in the future. I threw a couple pictures of like a pit well, which normally when they become bad, you know, if there's water inside a pit, then the pit's no longer, you know, allowed to be used, and they'd have to upgrade the whole system. Which, you know, we pretty much know, because every 5 years we go out and check these establishments, so we know if something's starting to decay, and so they actually have time to prepare. So, other problems we have, or big problems, is like Country Thunder. They have public wells out there, so we have to sample those. Up until about 3 years ago, they only had 2 wells for the whole facility. So if one well went bad, you had one well to service about 30,000 people for a weekend. So we did run, I bet you, in the last 15 years, I bet you I had boil water notices out there at least 4 times, and I had them, at least 2 wells go down while we were out there. So we ordered about 3 years ago to install a 3rd well, you know, just because it's growing, and every year they add more campsites. They have 5,200 campsites at this establishment out there, you know, for the, 1 week a year. So, which is about 30,000 people. So it's easy to see how they can have the wells run dry with that much usage in that short of time period. Other private wells, we look at Renaissance Fair. That's been around for a long time. There we never had a problem with water, but we don't have camping. You know, camping is the big issue that really causes the usage. So, but we do sampling there, you know, several times a year at the Renaissance Fair to ensure that the water supply is still safe. So, and anytime any work is done on these wells, we actually go out and take more samples too, just to ensure that the public water system is safe. I know a lot of people don't realize that when they're out going to restaurants in the county and stuff like that, that, you know, not only do we inspect the restaurants, but we do follow up, you know, and do all this type of water sampling and other protections, you know. So this was the first year the DNR, they put out a new packet for special events, or actually seasonal startups, and it gives them a checklist of everything they have to do when they're starting up their system. You know, from checking to make sure the maintenance, that the covers are on solid, that the conduit with all the electricals in place, that wintertime they haven't had, you know, flooding in the area. So these are all things you have to check off before they start the system. And we want them to actually, if we can get them to chlorinate, you know, when they get started, to do that, and then we'll come out after that's all flushed through and start taking our water samples. Because it's more costly for them if we get a bad sample, because then we're coming out a lot of times. So, and they're chlorinating again and again. So, which has happened at Country Thunder, because they get there such a short period before these events. You know, they only get there like a month before the events. So by the time they get the water system up and running and we can sample, now it's only 2 weeks for the event. So if you come back and have bad samples, now they have to chlorinate. This takes a couple days to get all this stuff done. So then you come back and now it's the week of the event and you're still looking to get safe samples. So it's kind of crazy for us. A lot of running around. And like I said, you just hate to have an event like that without any water. You know, or you have water, but you tell them no one can drink it. So it's kind of foolish. So the checklist is really nice. The DNR put it out this year, and actually the DNR was thankful to us because I had an intern that interpreted and put it in Spanish for them and sent it right back up there for us. So we utilize as much as we can, you know, in our office. So right now I was going to say, if you had any questions on the water, the public well water.
Supervisor Black?
I have a question about Country Thunder. So you check it before the event. Do you check it after everyone's gone as well? Do you ever do that?
The water?
Yeah, just to see if it's like...
No, we're just happy it's over. We're happy we survived. Okay. You know, because we have somebody out on site, you know, usually two people every day, all day. You know, because we do all the food service out there. We do all the camping, you know, all the setbacks. One thing... They just were changing the special event campground code, and they were making, you know, larger campsites required. Tents couldn't be closer than 10 feet away from each other. They started making all these restrictions, what they never did before. Well, if that went through, they'd lose a third of their campsites at Country Thunder. And then they said they wouldn't have the event anymore because they wouldn't have enough people there to sponsor the event. So they tabled it, the state did. And this fall, we're going to sit down and work out, you know, good requirements that can be actually enforceable at a Country Thunder.
Supervisor Gaines?
They use them grounds for other events, though, don't they? I mean, nothing like, I thought they use them for, like, weekend events, like the mud race or something.
They used to. They used to have, like, a rock fest there, but there was no camping. No other event had camping on it. And I think they had flea markets there, and they did have like some snowmobile races there too, 1 year. But that was when a previous owner owned part of the land. So now it's all owned by Country Thunder, so it's going to be just exclusively theirs. But the farmers around the still plant some of the stuff, you know, that are used for the campgrounds. So, like I said, 5,200 campsites, quite a bit.
What's the cost of the average inspection?
Out there or anywhere?
Anywhere.
Oh, probably at least $100.
Average length of time?
Say an hour. That's a different topic, though. But for wells, and that's why they gave us $50 for the water one. I mean, it doesn't take us as long to do something like that. It's our travel time, you know. And that's what you learn when you have, like, the West area. You have to cover all those people. Travel is so much more. So, and that's what we're learning when we have our new topic, good segue here, private on-site wastewater treatment systems. This program was administered by planning and development up until just over a year ago. So I don't know if it was because we were doing a good job with our programs or they didn't like us, but they gave us this program. So you'll be seeing us in the next year because we're going to rewrite the whole code. It's the Sanitary Code Chapter 15 for Kenosha County, because right now it says enforcement is done through planning and development. We're going to change that and have it done through Kenosha County Division of Health.
Which kind of makes sense. It makes better sense that way.
It does. It's good to have it in the environmental section because it is a health hazard if it's not operating mm-hmm. properly. And there is a lot of sources of contamination. Wells get contaminated
Absolutely.
From it. So we're happy to have it. Mm-hmm. As you learn in this job, you become a jack of all trades, you know, and you become a master when you're doing something, mm-hmm. you know. But then you move on and do your next program. So annually, you have to really update yourself on a lot of these programs. Mm. So, but on the private on-site wastewater treatment systems, the POTS program, there's three different types. You know, we have holding tanks, we have pressurized systems, and we have mound systems, or regular gravity systems, septic systems. So with those three types, obviously holding tanks is something that people have to get pumped more often. And we keep track of that. And to do so, later in my program, the county made a portal where the pumpers can go in and they can put down anytime they service a septic system, holding tank, septic system, or mound, they can go in there and put in what they pump. So this allows us, because in years past, up until this year, they used to mail all this information back to us and we used to hand put it in into each system. So this saves us quite a bit of time. You know, now we can spend our time in the field where we should be, you know, inspecting these. Because by 2019, all the septic and holding tanks in that have to be on the county system. We probably have about 3,000 systems out there that aren't regulated yet. So we'll have to be inspecting them to make sure they're working properly. So people might have to upgrade them, you know, and we have to get them on our system because septic systems have to be pumped every 3 years. Along with pressurized systems. And then holding tanks, obviously, they have to be pumped when they need it, because if they're not, they're overflowing in your yard. So that's probably a monthly type thing. And it can be annually for, like, some kind of, you know, vacation homes that we have out in certain lake areas. So with septic systems, I had some pictures on how a couple of them different work. Not the most exciting stuff I know about.
Actually, I always wondered about these. We just got our kids a house that has a tank, and I didn't know the difference between them, so this is good.
It's a good thing, and you know what? It's something we had to learn, too. You know, we handled the wells, and they thought, you know, this mm-hmm. is a good fit in this area. Mm-hmm. So, and like I said, this is a big source of contamination. I have counterparts in other areas of the state that actually deal with the POTS program and the well program, and there's big problems, like in Manitowoc, because they're allowing, they have big corporate farms up there. Mm-hmm. And I bet you they have 50% of the wells in certain areas of the county have E. coli in them because so many cattle farms are around there, sure. and it's all going into their wells and groundwater. Mm-hmm. So
that raises an interesting question before you launch into this. What kind of relationship do you have with planning and development to be able to do this? I mean, what sort of conversations, exchanges back and forth do you have?
I still have them issue my sanitary permits. Okay, so because one of my inspectors is stationed inside their office.
Okay,
that's going to be their home base because he handles most of the western part of Kenosha County. So they still issue the permits. We still deal with a lot of people that come in there and go through the planning process and the permitting. So they collect the money and they actually give it to me. So it's really good.
And a lot's closely tied to the DNR too, correct? I mean,
yeah.
We work very closely with the DNR. Anytime there's a field with runoff, the DNR gets involved too. Build whatever needs to be done if it's another.
A lot of the codes are written through the DNR, mm-hmm. you know, to prevent any cross contamination mm-hmm. or field contamination, farmers, things like that. The DNR really heavy into the farm fields and any like pesticide usage in that. So that's what they look for. Some of the nitrates, when we take the nitrates in the wells, that's what they're looking for. They're looking
and
for
in our recreational lakes too.
Yeah.
We wind up with them, and it's a big problem. So they have to get involved.
We do the beach sampling,
mm-hmm.
you know, in Twin Lakes, Silver Lake. We pick up their samples for them.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of we try to get in all these different areas. We have a lot of different contacts throughout mm-hmm. Kenosha County.
We don't have any wells inside the city, do we? I know we get at one point in time on some maps. I think they still show up, but I don't know that they're in use. Darcy Foster.
Petrified Springs is the closest thing.
I was thinking Pets. Yeah. The one I think of.
The tavern on by Casa Capri. not too many, especially on North Sheridan Road is all on city water. So you have to go out past, even the country club is on city water. So it's just Pets is probably the first thing on the north side that is on a well. So, and they have wells that people can go there and fill their jugs.
Supervisor Gaten?
You're saying the gravity system septic tanks now will have to be pumped every 3 years?
Yes.
I've known people that have septic tanks for 30 years. They're not even sure where the hell they are. I mean, you look for the grass.
Right. You know, and you have to find these covers, and you have to make sure everything's working properly. But yeah, that by 2019, the state statutes say that all pouch systems have to be on a county program and maintained. So that means they'd have to be pumped every 3 years. So yeah, our biggest problem is going to be finding all these septic systems.
So even privately owned homes that have them, you have
oh,
to.
Oh sure,
okay.
Ours is.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Every 3 years.
Wow.
So
yeah.
And then,
I think my kids must have a different kind then, because I know theirs is like every several months.
That's a holding tank.
Oh, okay.
Do you think you look at holding tanks?
No, they're in Bristol. Okay.
This is what we have, something like this, where it goes to a mound system.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, the leach bed's easy to find. It's hard finding. It can't be hard finding the septic tank.
Oh, it's hard to find some of these tanks, because like you said, they haven't been looked at in years.
The grass is always green, but
yeah,
you got to go back to the.
Well, and that's one of our tasks, though, is we're going to have to try to find out where all these septic systems are. So I know, like, Summers and Pleasant Prairie, they issue garbage cans. So we can get a list of all the occupied properties in those townships by doing that. Otherwise, you have to look on the tax system and look at like money amounts, like anything assessed over like $40,000, seeing if there's a building on site that would be connected to a septic system. So it's going to be a lot of running around, you know. So, and I know other areas in the state, they actually charge to maintain that program. You know, we haven't charged at all to do that, but we haven't had a lot of systems on our, you know, like I said, I bet you there's 3,000 systems from what I've been told that aren't on the county system yet.
Wow.
So,
interesting.
But
wouldn't there be more than that?
I'm guessing. See, I just took this over a year ago, so, you know, but we have probably, 5,000 on our site right now? So we're looking at least another 3?
Would we be considering some sort of fee then at that point, or, I mean, how would that work?
We don't know. We could look at what other counties do. For maintaining the programs?
Probably depend also on how much headcount you need to maintain the program. I mean,
right.
If there's headcount, you're going to need to fund it.
I mean,
so somehow.
Fund it. It's not extraordinary. I know, like, La Crosse, they charge $8 a year for a property that has a septic system to maintain the program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they put it right on their taxes so they don't have to go out and try to send bills and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's similar in Eau Claire, which is similar mm-hmm. size county. So we'd probably look at something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Like you said, you kind of have your board up on what we have to do first. First, we have to get the code in our name.
Sure.
You know, then we have to get a system in place to go after and make sure everything gets on our system,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then once that starts running, then we can start looking at, you know, what's it really cost to run this program? You know, would this be sufficient?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are you going to enforce these people? I can see some of these old farmers that...
I'm going to have them talk to planning and development.
Nice.
It's going to be tough. You know, and what's scary about it is the state has a Wisconsin fund. Wisconsin fund was a a pot of money that they had that they would give out to people that had to put a failed septic system in or a new septic system in, you know, for people that didn't make a lot, you know, on fixed incomes. That last Friday, I got an email saying that they're proposing taking that away. You know, just in like a county like Eau Claire, they said since 1993, they had $1.5 million given to their residents to put in new systems. It was like 506 systems, I believe.
And they're expensive, aren't they?
They are.
Because I know even just my kid's holding tank was expensive. There might have been an issue with it, and we checked it. I mean, even that was just really expensive, and I can imagine these are much more.
If you have to put in a mound system, I mean, that's a whole different ballgame than a gravity. I mean, I can see, I've known people that had to do it.
Yeah.
Do you retest the soil then? I mean, septic systems were put in, but the soil had to meet PERC.
So, and if it doesn't, so then they'd have to put in a mound. What a mound system does is mound systems puts in good soil above ground, and you know that's where your mound comes in. They put in good soil up there that would be able to handle all the moisture. So no, I'm not saying this isn't going to be an easy task. I think maybe that's what was left for us. But we'll do it. We did it with all these other programs, and you know, you kind of work with everybody, and you know, like I said, if you can have state programs that can help people out with the money with investments like this, and it's not something where we go out and say, oh, you have a failed septic system, put one in 30 days. You know, I doubt that we would do something like that. You know, people have had failed septic systems probably for 10 years. You know, we're just going to say you're going to have to make that correction, you know, and get it down on, and you know, at least a timeline where we can get that in.
If there's a way in which we can be helpful in that endeavor, let us know.
Okay.
I always say that, and then I never see or hear anything. So I'm assuming it must be okay, or it just goes into some black hole and dies.
Well, hopefully they won't get rid of the Wisconsin fund. But like I said,
again, if you need us to help with something, let us know.
I can pass that along to you to show you what the proposal was on that. So, because I know the government's cutting quite a bit right now. So.
Stand in line.
Yeah. So, at that point, do you guys have any more questions on this?
Just with the water testing, do you test Silver Lake Park too?
We do. We check their wells, and then we also have their beach sampling too.
That little company out in Powers Lake or something, its own little water utility that they were having, do you guys get involved in that?
Powers Lake?
Silver Lake?
No, Twin Lakes.
Twin Lakes.
Van Woods. Yes, yeah. We're in the middle of it right now. What happened was is they had a community well that went bad with the operation. So now they told everybody, oh, you're done, you have to put your own wells in. I got one house that can't afford a well. So now the DNR pushed them on us saying, here, these people are going to be living there and there's no water connected to it. What are we going to do? So we're making contact with them actually today, you know, to find out what we can do out there.
Well, I know there's another water system. It's in Summers. That's probably 30 homes. I think it's on 3 or 4 wells.
Okay.
And it's its own water district. But do you guys monitor that, or does the state go in it?
Depending on how many homes are on it, the state would do that, the DNR. You know, and they might have somebody from that subdivision grabbing the samples and sending them to the state.
Yeah, that's what,
up until when we took the samples from the state, from the TNs are called, transient non-community wells, those are the public wells. Before we started taking the samples, the owners of the restaurants had to send in the samples to the state. That's why when we first took over the program, we probably got about 20% bad samples, so they might not have been sending their real water in, you know. But that's why we don't have many bad samples now. We probably have 2% bad samples now, 2 to 3. So, but it took us a while to get everything in line on that. So, but you will be seeing me again for the new code for the pulse. John told me I couldn't talk too long.
Who listens to John?
So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Agenda item number 6, such other businesses authorized by law. Think there's any committee member comments? I feel really bad that we all missed that single line test.
What single line test?
I cannot believe that.
What single line of text are you referring to?
It's going to bother me all night now. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn. What single line of text are you talking about?
Does somebody want to make the motion and second this?
I just made it.
All right. Well, I didn't know what was going on. Everybody said motion to adjourn, and it wasn't like... All right. So who made it?
Who cares?
All right. Supervisor Johnson made it. Supervisor Ross seconded. You think governance?
Yeah.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
What line of text are you referring to? I'm missing.
The one that talks about attendance.
We didn't miss that.